prelude. Thank you, Spice. Our opening hymn today is number 330, Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun, number 330. Please be seated. I want to welcome everyone to the service of worship today. If it's your first time worshiping at Appleby, please sign the visitor's log in the hallway so I can give you a call later this week. There is tons going on, as you know, as Christmas approaches in our own lives and in our church life. There's a nice little yellow insert you can put on your fridge, which is really nice with your magnet. The community tree lighting and carol sing is next Sunday at 6 p.m. on the front lawn here. Please invite a friend to come. And I think Dave is handing out the cards for people who have agreed to walk them around the neighborhood. And at one time he said we needed one more person. So if anybody has walking shoes and likes to use them, by all means talk to me or talk to Dave. Also, to get ready for that great event on Saturday, November 30th, is a tree decorating party, both inside to get the sanctuary ready and outside on the apple trees out on the front lawn. And there's going to be coffee and muffins at 9 o'clock. It's kind of a warm-up to get ready to go out and help. Please come. And even if you just want to come and enjoy coffee and muffins and say hello, you're welcome. But we also need people to do some work afterwards. There's a new planting seeds board in the hallway. And rather than signing up for things on my door, there's things there that I can put up or others. I need people to help with the Advent wreath during December. So if you'd like to light the candle and read just the short little part, I need two people each Sunday, please do. And we have an excellent ministry here to families at the Family Christmas Eve service. And we, the big kids, put on a Christmas pageant for the little kids. It is called the Christmas Star. It is really cool. So I need the familiar roles. Who do you think that I need for Christmas Eve? Any guesses? Who's usually involved in the story? Mary and Joseph, thank you. Anybody else? Shepherds, thank you. Wise men. So if you've ever wanted to be wise, anybody here want to be wise? Here is your opportunity. You get to be wise for about an hour and a half. You know, make it an hour. So anyway, please take a look at that board. There's copies of the pageant there. It's great. And please sign up. Next Sunday, again, to get our hearts in the mood for Christmas, is our pre-service carol sing that starts at 9:50. So come ready to shout out your favorite Christmas carol to sing. And also on that sheet is December 8th, is White Gift. Go down and look at the outreach board. There's a great list of items you can get for various age groups. And then on December 15th is our musical celebration, All Bells in Paradise. You'll see some of those signs up at 3 o'clock. Invite a friend. It will be great. It'll be Ian's last Christmas musical celebration at Appleby. So please mark that on your calendar. And the Bible study that starts December 3rd on the book of Luke, please see June Perret or the corner of my office. There's a stack of the books. Take one and read the first two chapters of Luke for next week. And it's all the Christmas story. So it's good timing if you want to be a part of that book study and Bible study. And then you'll also notice in there on winter holidays, does anybody like to go warm in the winter? Yes. Thank you. I see a couple of heads. So do Margo and I. The worship committee is looking for someone to lead the service on February 16th. If you have a favorite scripture you like to talk about, this is a great time to do it. And having to talk about your faith is a great way to sharpen what you believe. So if there's anyone interested, please let me know. Wow, are you quite done with me for announcements? Okay, and I think we have Keith up here to tell us about yesterday.
Oski wee wee. I figure it was a good place to start. A couple things. First thing, just a reminder for those of you who ordered Christmas flowers, it's also next Saturday morning, so it's going to be a busy Saturday morning around here. We'll be down in the hall and or the parlor, as the case may be. Okay, yesterday, exciting time, and I think a great time had by all. Just a small amount of people that helped, about 60 volunteers that put this all together. We did something different this year than we've never done before, and there was an entrance fee of the money and the money went strictly to it's all going to the food bank. That alone raised $658. The sale itself raised $5,160 yesterday. And on top of that, we have after the service down in the hall, there's Christmas baking still available. There is turkey pot pies, 6-inch apple pot pies, and the biggie, free lunch down there. Thank you.
I've heard Appleby likes to eat, so you're in luck today. That's wonderful. Are there any other announcements, celebrations, or concerns for the church family this morning? Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we recognize Jesus' presence in our midst. Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we celebrate the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship. Let us now acknowledge God's presence in word. Jesus is here. God is here. We are here. Let us pray. Holy God, pour out your holiness on us, pour out your strength, that we may worship you with the confidence of beloved children.
Pour out your grace,
that we may enter your presence fully and completely, loving you with our tears and our prayers and our praise. In loving gratitude, we pray. Amen. A good hymn for Jesus So Reigns Sunday is Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, number 365, Jesus Loves Me.
Loves me, yes, Jesus. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Please be seated. Let us turn to our time of reflection and saying, I'm sorry. Welcome us, gracious God, as Jesus welcomed sinners and saints alike.
Forgive the wrongs we have done,
and the acts of mercy we have left undone. Bless us with your mercy and grace, especially when we feel friendless and beaten down. Assure us of your love, especially when we feel most alone and undeserving. Welcome us into your holy presence with forgiving grace and faithful love that never ends. Take a moment to give yourself a big hug, quiet the inner voices of discontent, and remind yourself that God loves you warts and all, and that God is giving you a big hug too. Amen. The assurance of God's never-ending love is what feeds us and gives us courage to go forward. In the love of Christ, your sins are forgiven. Praise God for this glorious gift. Amen. Our first lesson this morning is from the book of Revelation.
Good morning. Today's reading is taken from the stories of the early church. Revelations 21, 1 to 7, the new heaven and the new earth. It's found in the New Use Bible on page 352. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth disappeared, and the sea vanished. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared and ready, like a bride dressed to meet her husband. I heard a loud voice speaking from the throne. Now God's home is with people. He will live with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more grief or crying or pain. The old things have disappeared. Then the one who sits on the throne said, "And now I make all things new." He also said to me, "Write this, because these words are true and can be trusted." And he said, "It is done. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. To anyone who is thirsty, I will give the right to drink from the spring of the water of life without paying for it. Those who win the victory will receive this from me. I will be their God, and they will be my children." May God add God's blessings to God's holy word.
The stories of Jesus are from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. Beginning at verse 63, and it is the story of Jesus at the home of Simon the Pharisee. And it's interesting to note that prior to this, followers of John the Baptist are coming to ask Jesus who he is. A Pharisee invited Jesus to have dinner with him, and Jesus went to his house and sat down to eat. In that town was a woman who lived a sinful life. She heard that Jesus was eating in the Pharisee's house, so she brought an alabaster jar full of perfume and stood behind Jesus by his feet, crying and wetting his feet with her tears. Then she dried his feet with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee saw this, he said to himself, "If this man really were a prophet, he would know who this woman is who is touching him. He would know what kind of sinful life she lives." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Yes, teacher," he said, "tell me." "There were two men who owed money to a moneylender," Jesus began. "One owed him 500 silver coins, and the other owed him 50. Neither of them could pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Which one, then, will love him more?" "I suppose," answered Simon, "that it would be the one who was forgiven more." "You are right," Jesus answered. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You did not welcome me with a kiss, but she has not stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You provided no olive oil for my head, but she has covered my feet with perfume. I tell you then, the great love she has shown proves that her many sins have been forgiven. But whoever has been forgiven little shows only a little love." Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." The others sitting at the table began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Thanks be to God for these words.
The Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you like to eat? I'm surprised all the hands weren't up. I heard Appleby likes to eat. Thank you. How many of you like Christmas goodies? Absolutely. Like the ones you got a sneak preview of at the Country Kitchen. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is a new kind of table. And I want to thank you for coming. Life is busy, especially this time of year. Thank you for taking the time to gather for worship. Today you will learn a good example that shows what the reign of Christ Sunday is all about. You'll also get a good look at who Jesus invited to his table and how incredibly radical Jesus was simply by who he ate with and who he welcomed over for dinner. Can I share a little story about myself with you this morning? It's just a little one. How many of you have photo albums at home? With a few pictures in it? Absolutely. I have one picture that I really appreciate. It's a Christmas picture. It's strange because I cannot remember it. It's us sitting around the Christmas table with my mom's family, the Mullets, her mom and dad. I was probably eight months at the time. Big difference between the two. Exactly. You remember that, right? When you're 8 months old. And I have no memory of my grandma Mullet because she died when I was incredibly young. So I have this one picture. This one picture when she and I are sitting together at the Christmas table, which is kind of cool, and I appreciate it. Now, what I want you to think about today is what gatherings have you had around a table and that held special significance for you or your family? So, is the question semi-clear? What gatherings around a table, it could be a camping table, a Christmas table, you know, a birthday table, what gathering have you had around a table that held special significance for you and your family? So find someone around you, introduce yourself, share your story, or you can think about it on your own. Go. Please stop. Thank you. Did anyone have a particular little story about a table that was significant for you in a couple words? Oh, yes.
Sitting down for dinner
Wow. Sitting down with family after not seeing them for 30 years. Awesome. Thank you. That's a great story. You know? Yes. Ah, I like the idea of meeting grandparents. I'll pass on the cod's tongue. Thank you. That's awesome. So we all have important and meaningful stories, and we need to share them. It's the stuff of our lives. And so I invite you to continue sharing over coffee. The passage from Revelation today is the inspiration of the song, I see a new heaven, I see a new earth, as the old one will pass away. And we sang at the beginning of November for All Saints Sunday. Could also be a very appropriate song for this Sunday, the reign of Christ. I see a new heaven, I see a new earth, as the old one will pass away. As Christians, we live with our feet in two worlds, the here and now and the what is yet to come, when we go to live with God in heaven after we die. Sandra McFadgen, I didn't tell her I was going to pick on her today, reminded the church board members of this with a devotion 2 months ago, I think. I think it was 2 months ago. And it was entitled, When We Know Who Wins. And who do we hope wins today? Now, I know there's a Hamilton. I know there's a Winnipeg Blue Bonner among us, you know, but she has blue on today. When? Oh.
Who wins the Davis Cup?
Oh, sorry. This devotion was entitled, When We Know Who Wins. It was from the Daily Bread that many of you use, and it spoke of a supervisor at work who was a huge fan of a certain college basketball team. And that year, they won the national championship. Fantastic. And so, a person from work texted him and said, congratulations. The only problem was that person let the cat out of the bag because they hadn't watched the game yet. Does anybody here ever tape games? Like I did last week because I couldn't watch the Ticat game and watched it afterwards. The supervisor was frustrated because they knew the outcome, but he admitted at least when he watched the game, he wasn't as nervous when the score remained close right to the end, because he knew who won. This is similar to our faith. Despite life's unpredictable ups and downs, we can still be securely grounded in God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, because we, like the supervisor, know how the story ends. The book of Revelation, the Bible's final book, lifts the curtain on the spectacular finale. And after the defeat of death and evil, John describes a beautiful victory scene where God will make his home with his people and wipes every tear from their eyes in a world with no more death or mourning or crying or pain. What a beautiful image. And on difficult days, we can cling to this promise. No more loss or weeping. No more what ifs or broken hearts. Instead, we spend eternity together in the presence of God, surrounded by God's mercy and justice, judgment and grace, wonderfully held together by an unfathomable mystery of God's love that draws us all in. What a glorious celebration it will be. And we will celebrate it here today with communion. Do you know what I find interesting As I thought about this week, as we wait and work for the completion of God's kingdom here on earth, we do so with hope. Why? We know how the game ends. That's what our faith is about. Does anybody here remember what the name for the first candle of Advent is? Thank you. It's hope. So both the end of the church year and the beginning of the church year have the theme based in hope. And again, we celebrate that through communion on the reign of Christ. We eat this bread and drink this wine until when? He comes. We keep doing it over and over and over to remind us and ground us in the stories of Jesus. There is a danger here, though, that we over-spiritualize this table, that we link it only with Jesus' death on the cross, the forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting, and forget how incredibly radical Jesus' table was. Most theologians would tell you, you cannot separate the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, that Jesus celebrated with his disciples in the Passover meal, with all the other meals Jesus had throughout his ministry. Do you remember who Jesus ate with? His disciples, thank you. Anyone else? Tax collectors, thank you. Anybody else? Sinners, thank you. Women, absolutely, thank you. Outcasts, you know? All big no-nos. Jesus was known as the person that hung out with the riffraff. You know? Think about that for a moment. Jesus was known for hanging out with the riffraff. And by doing so, he communicated God's love and grace to him, to them. Just prior to this Sunday's lesson in Luke, you'll find these words comparing Jesus and John the Baptist. John the Baptist came and he fasted and drank no wine, and you said he has a demon in him. The Son of Man came and he ate and drank, and you said, look at this man, he's a glutton and a wine drinker, a friend of tax collectors and outcasts. God's wisdom, however, is shown to be true by all who accept it. I read a very interesting book last week on my study leave. It was entitled Love Over Fear by Dan White Jr., who was at the Reimagine Conference in Hamilton. In it, he mentions how Jesus was recreating the world through table fellowship, that the people who would never sit near one another, let alone share a meal together, did so in Jesus' presence. This was incredibly radical. In Greek culture, it was legally forbidden, think of that, legally forbidden to mingle with people outside your social class. In freeborn Roman citizen could not eat with former slaves. The head of aristocracy could only invite other aristocrats to dinner. The same with Jews. There was many different splinters or denominations, if you want to call it, within Judaism. They had different understandings of what was clean and unclean, and table fellowship was forbidden unless you had the same understanding of who was clean and who was unclean, or what you had to do to become clean. I wonder if today's world is much different or better. For the vast majority of people, we divide the world into us versus them. And we only associate with people who are like us. Yeah. Politically, racially, religiously. Through his table fellowship, the simple act of inviting people over to dinner and who he ate with and talked to, Jesus was redrawing the social tribal groups that were in his world and in ours. And nowhere is this more evident than in the 12 that he gathered. Does anybody know who was included amongst his 12? Some were fishermen. Okay. Some were known as zealots, who wanted to overthrow the Roman government by force. One was a tax collector. Six were fishermen who were exploited by the Roman system of taxation. Some believe that a lot of Jesus' followers were unemployed fishermen because they couldn't make a living at it anymore because of the taxation system. One was a wealthy Pharisee who had strict rules about cleanliness. Now, can you imagine getting that motley crew together and sitting down around a table and eating together? Jesus must have been saying, "Why am I doing this?" See, as a church, we like to see ourselves as one big happy family. Thank you. But it's always been far removed from that. It's been people of diverse views, attitudes, beliefs, but with one thing in common. They were a child of God, loved and forgiven. And Jesus proclaimed that kingdom one dinner table at a time. We all fall into the trap of judging others. Simon the Pharisee said, you know, in his mind. Any of you have a mind that keeps rolling over and over and over again? The Pharisee, Simon, said, if he knew what kind of woman this was, he wouldn't have anything to do with her. We have that habit in our head, don't we? You know, we go to the mall, we see people, we make judgments based on their dress, or the signs they put on their front lawn during elections. You know, how dare they put that sign out? You know, the color of their skin, the car they drive, the religious, you know, that they are a part of. Yet our prejudging prevents us to get to know who they are as people. And they're probably pretty similar to us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book Ethics, says, you cannot love real and raw people with a judgmental mind, because you're always trying to control them, fix them. Anybody here ever in their head say, you know, if that person would only do this, fix them or size them up before you are willing to give yourself to them in love. Befriend them. The Greek root word for judgment is krino, meaning to separate. And Dad sees Satan as the great separator, always wanting to drive a wedge between one person or group of people and another. We do that when we prejudge others. We live, as he mentioned, in an increasingly polarized world. White versus black, you know, native Canadians versus European background, new immigrants versus third generation immigrants, Hindu, Muslim, Christian. Anybody remember when Protestants and Catholics kind of walked on the other side of the street? Okay. The same is true of Shiite and Sunni, you know, Muslims, conservatives, liberals, NDP, Republicans, Democrats, the list goes on. The other side wins when we continue to categorize and peep people into groups that we either like or don't like. Dan stresses the importance of seeing one another as a human being first, created in the image of God, dependent on God's love and grace, just as we are, and to forget about the labels. To learn to love our enemies as Jesus commanded, we need to set aside that little voice that keeps going around, the hamster wheel in our heads that labels and categorizes people in an instant. When you hear yourself doing that, to stop and say, wait a minute, they are a fallible child of God just like I am. Maybe I should try and say hello before I start to build my wall. Maybe I should welcome them to the table. Dan shared some incredible, interesting stories. One was between a young, single black mom, we're talking down deep south now, and an old white widower with a big Confederate flag on the front of his house, who served in the military. Well, she didn't like the flag too much. She didn't want her young daughter to see something that reminded them of slavery. She was a descendant of slaves every day when they left the house. So she took a big, deep breath and went over one day with some muffins and a cup of coffee. Slowly, a relationship developed, so much so that she said, you know, I need to talk to you about your flag and what that means to me. Over time, he eventually took the flag down. Now, when she talked to her church members, do you know what her church members said? Oh, we'll take care of it. We'll just go over there some night and rip it down and, you know, take it. And she said, no, that's not going to solve the problem, you know. So over time, this relationship developed so much so that when she couldn't get home, he said, you know, if you need somebody, I'll stay with your daughter till you get home from work in emergencies. And one day he confessed, you know, you're the first black person that I've ever known. Wow. Inviting people to your table. Now, not all stories, he said, had this happy ending, but as followers of Jesus, we are called to get to know our neighbors, all of them. The ones we find easy to get along with, and the ones who don't rake their leaves and let the wind blow them where? You got it. Do I like that? Not too much. This table we gather around today is amazing. Not only because of the memory of Jesus' death and resurrection, the forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting, but because of the example that Jesus lived of crossing boundaries and living out a belief that we are all a beloved child of God. And the way you put that into action is by getting to know them and sit down with table with them. A belief he lived out by saying, can we get together over a cup of coffee, a donut, a muffin, maybe a barbecue, some hamburgers, so we can get to know one another as people. And as boundaries were crossed, the kingdom of God becomes present in our world, one relationship at a time. Next week, we'll have an opportunity to practice such radical hospitality by mingling around with a cup of hot chocolate and cookies and introducing yourself and saying hello to neighbors that come to the community tree lighting and carol sing. Thanks be to God. Amen. Through your offering today, you say welcome to those who struggle in mind, body, or spirit. You also say they are loved and that we care. You are invited to give now to the work of the church to help God's dreams come true for the world.
Lord, let your
Holy, Eternal One, you name us beloved and search for us as a shepherd for a lost lamb or a woman for her lost dowry coin. May we who are made in your image be as faithful to you and to one another as you are to us. Use us and the gifts we bring to welcome others to the table that they might be known and loved. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Our next hymn is from the soft-covered hymn book, More Voices, number 195, Long Ago and Far Away, number 195 from More Voices. In the United Church of Canada, we practice what is known as open communion, and the table is open to anyone who desires a relationship with God through a friendship with Jesus Christ. Please note that our liturgy today is part of a song of faith, a statement of faith for the United Church of Canada, approved at the 2006 General Council. Please turn in your bulletin or look on the screen. We find God made known in Jesus of Nazareth, and so we sing of God the Christ, the Holy One embodied.
We sing of Jesus, a Jew, born to a woman in poverty, in a time.
He knew human joy and sorrow. So filled with the human Holy Spirit was he that in him people experienced the presence of God among them. We sing praise to God incarnate.
Jesus announced the coming of God's reign, a commonwealth not of domination, but of peace, justice, and reconciliation. He healed the sick and fed the hungry. He forgave sins and freed those held captive by all manner of demonic powers.
He crossed barriers of race, class, culture, and gender. He preached and practiced unconditional love. Love of God, love of neighbor, love of friend, love of enemy. And he commanded his followers to love one another as he had loved them.
Because his witness to love was spreading, those exercising power sought to silence Jesus. He suffered abandonment and betrayal, state sanctioned torture and execution. He was crucified.
But death was not the last word. God raised Jesus from death, turning sorrow into joy, despair into hope. We sing of Jesus raised from the dead. We sing hallelujah.
By the coming of Jesus, God makes all things new. In Jesus' life, teaching, and self-offering, God empowers us to live in love.
In Jesus' crucifixion, God bears the sin, grief, and suffering of the world. In Jesus' resurrection, God overcomes death. Nothing separates us from the love of God.
The risen Christ is today present to us and source of our hope in response to who Jesus was and to all he did and taught, to his life, death, and resurrection, and to his continuing presence with us through the Spirit.
We celebrate him as the Word made flesh, the one in whom God and humanity are perfectly joined, the transformation of our lives, the Christ.
Christ is high. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
The body of Christ, which is broken for us. The blood of Christ that is shed for us.
Thank you.
body of Christ that is broken for us. Post-communion prayer in your bulletin. Before conscious thought or action on our part, we were born into the brokenness of the world. Before conscious thought or action on our part, We are surrounded by God's redeeming love. Divisions can be mended, healing both our neighborhoods and our world.